Nigel, my brother.
Lacey, Lace.
Yes, brother. How is sound and video?
Good question. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, brother. Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Amazing, dude. Oh, dude, I'm excited for this, man.
Let's just wait till people get in. Hello, everybody.
Shoo-wee. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'll let you lead, Nige, and you let me know, man. I'd love to drop us in with a few breaths just to kick off.
Let's do that.
Yeah, amazing, bro. Brother Nigel, I love your glasses. Talk to me. What are those glasses?
I just got them from Raw Optics, and they block like all the blue light, and they give a lot of... I got a ring light, so it's pretty intense, but this just breaks it down.
Mm, nice.
Especially before bedtime, man.
Good to wear whilst you're looking at your phone before bed, yeah?
Well, you shouldn't look at your phone, but if you do it with these glasses on.
Having that balance. Yeah, nice, man. It looks swag. I also know, you know, Benjam. He's a raw optics guy.
They're the same brand.
Sick. Yeah, he loves them. And he was really inspiring me to kind of, yeah. Dave Asprey, Joe Rogan. They all love their blue blocking glasses. Anyway, that's not why we're here, man. Why are we here, Nigel, bro?
Why are we here, man? To talk about things that interest us and that helped us along the way to be the person that we are right now. And it's actually the work that keeps on giving.
Mm.
Men's work, brotherhood.
Mm.
David Patrick Farrell checking in. Robin. Oh, the circus. Yeah, buddy.
Oh. All the bros checking in. And that's beautiful, man. It's a beautiful topic, isn't it? It's like, and even that phrase, checking in, right? So it might be nice for us to do a little check-in. There's always one man I think of when I say the word check-in. And I think you know who that man is. But today, you know what? Laith checking in from Bristol. The skies are blue. I'm grateful to be here with you, brother Nigel. Grateful to be in the space. I'm really excited to dive into what we're going to discuss today and different topics around men's work and why we do men's work and what even is men's work, right? Like, you know, what even is that? Maybe we can start there at some point. But today I'm feeling strong and clear with a heart full of love. Today is Valentine's Day, Nigel. You are my Valentine. So I'm, grateful to be here, brother. So yeah, that's my check-in and I'd love to hear a check-in from you. I came through with the rose, bro. Hashtag men's work came through with the rose. Fuck yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
Nigel checking in from the 11th floor of a skyscraper in Dubai. I feel good. Excited. A little less grounded than I would like to be, maybe because I'm on the 11th floor. I don't know. I was staying at a beautiful villa, a little bit outside of Dubai, and the people that see my stories, like the birds singing, beautiful garden, doing my morning practice, and that morning practice, like I'm going to the gym now really early, but then like this space is not inviting me to do my meditation and. To do my thing. So the last few days I'm a bit like, because I've been here for a week now and I'm a little bit less grounded because my practice is not there, which is also beautiful to observe, but yeah, I'm present with it and just letting it be.
Mm.
And also very excited checking in with you, talking about our friendship, our connection. Mm. And talk about men's work, man. That is men's work, brotherhood, whatever we wanna call it. So I think that's a beautiful what you said to start with. Like what is men's work to you?
What is men's work to you? Firstly, thank you for the check-in, bro, and beautiful to hear that you're found a new place for now, and thank you for sharing that. What is men's work to me, man? It's such a beautifully complex but simple thing. I think for me, men's work has been about understanding who I am as a man. And what does it mean to be a man in this modern world? What does it mean to connect with my emotions, to feel my feelings, to be in integrity, to be in honesty, and how that then leads my life? So how does my relationship with my own emotions and my own sense of self lead my life? And how does that drive me forward? So men's work for me has been about how do I find a healthier relationships in my life, you know, the relationships I have with myself, most importantly, you know, we're speaking about things like habits, what does that look like? You know, that's something that we can explore, but also like, what is the relationship I have with other people, and how healthy are those relationships with other people? So men's work for me is a bloody ongoing journey. I can tell you that much, bro. Like it's so, I feel so early in the journey. And I feel like there's so much I'm learning about myself every single day. I feel so grateful to have people I have around me. The opportunities that we get to do the work in real time. And that is an absolute gift. But men's work for me is about connecting to my heart and then understanding how I can allow myself to be a heart-led man in this world that we all live in. So for me, that's, you know, very high level and, you know, very top of the surface kind of understanding of what men's work is to me, man. How about yourself, bro? What is men's work to you?
Thank you, brother. First, I want to ask you, like, when did it start for you? What was that? Because that's something that I get back a lot when talking about men's work, and now the immersions are coming up. I get the feedback I get from men is like, I don't, that first step.
Ooh.
Is like they approach me like, yeah, I feel it's pulling me in, but I don't know, I'm scared, what got you to take the first step into a men's circle or an initiative that has to do with men's work?
What a beautiful question, man. Thank you. It's one in which I'm asking myself what's the best way to answer, because a part of me has had a very wounded upbringing with the masculine, you know, and like my relationship with my fathers, my stepfather, my father meant that for so many years, like I didn't know what healthy masculinity was. I didn't know what a healthy man looked like. Because I didn't have that in my life. I didn't have a father that I looked up to for so many years. And so, you know, that then meant that as a young boy, I was always, you know, curiously trying to understand my relationship with the masculine, you know, and actually having a beautifully strong mother and two incredibly strong older sisters meant that like I witnessed like beautiful feminine as I grew up. But as a young man, like, yes, that is beautiful. But then how do I connect with the masculine energy? And actually, I didn't have a healthy father archetype in my life that then meant I looked at a man and was like, oh, so that's what a healthy man looks like and acts like and is like. And, you know, that there's a whole story there, and, you know, we can maybe go into it. But just to really stick to your question, you know, what got me involved in men's work? It was 2020 Medicine Festival, which is a festival in the UK, which, yeah, I can bang on about for ages. incredible festival. Anyway, so I went to the festival and there was a man named Darragh Stewart there, Dr. Darragh Stewart, who runs an institute in Ireland that brings together therapeutic practices, psilocybin and psychotherapy. And it's one of the leading institutes in Ireland. And he's also a mental health practitioner. And his doctorate is in the relationship between psychedelic medicine, men's work and therapy. What a man, like what a fucking man. And I walked into this space and it was, you know, experience, men's work, king, warrior, magician, lover. You know, the book by David Dada. No, that's not the author of that book. Joseph Campbell, maybe, who wrote that book, King, Warrior, Magician, Lover. And I was very curious to understand, okay, what are these archetypes? What even are masculine archetypes? know, I don't really have a deep relationship with my own masculine. So what even are masculine archetypes? And so at that festival, I walked in and I remember this one man held the space for 40 men. I walked out that 3-hour workshop different. What I witnessed in that 3 hours completely changed my life. I witnessed men opening up, opening to their emotions, standing up, sharing things. And the vulnerability that I saw in another man that I have never ever witnessed in my entire life has stuck with me to this day. To walk into that circle and to witness what I saw, even when at that time I wasn't necessarily all involved myself, but that's the beauty of these spaces, right? Like, you go as far as you want to go, which make them really, really accessible. But it was that moment that I was like, this work is what I've been searching for my whole life. And actually, these spaces where men can show up fully and be themselves and work through the fucking shit that they experience in their life in a safe space, and witnessing another man share some of their deepest stuff with me, man. Like, I was like, I don't even know you, bro. But the fact that there's trust here and the fact that you were opening me up, like, it ripped my heart open to this place.
Which gives you and all the other men permission to do the same. You don't have to, but to only get that permission and invitation for you to open up, is everything.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's it. What you spoke to there, it's like, you in the men in these spaces go as far as they want to go. And that's the thing about these spaces. It's not like the boy locker room lad culture where everyone's like pushing each other to do different things. Actually, it's about repatterning that very unhealthy masculine culture where it's like, lads, like, let's get fucked up. And if you're not doing that, then, you know, you're less than me.
Yeah.
What healthy masculine spaces is about creating really safe spaces for people to explore these emotions and go lean into them, and also be completely fine with not going there and actually feeling safe and actually feeling like they're in a safe place with themselves. So yeah, bro, tangent, but that men's space that I went to at Medicine Festival was by far one of those transformational spaces that I've ever been in. And that kind of kickstarted my journey with Emergent Men and then Sacred Silence. We'll kind of get into that stuff. But yeah, just to kind of pinpoint on that question, going into that space, which was the first time I ever experienced men's work, having one of the most life transformational experiences of my life, and realizing this is what I've been missing my whole life, not having healthy masculine figures, not knowing what healthy masculine looked like, going into that space, understanding glimmers, I was like, yeah, bro, this is what I need to dedicate my life. This needs to be part of my life.
Because I think that's also the beauty of it, you know, because because some of the men are very conscious going into this, and some of them are a little bit less, which doesn't matter. You know, you can have somebody who's never meditated walk into a men's space. Somebody who's I think Jack said it beautifully, like, to have CEOs with hippies and everything in between in the same space is beautiful. But like, sometimes that, even though you don't even know what it is, and when you step into that space, it feels familiar. We need it as a man, to have a healthy relationship with other men, because the studies and the research doesn't lie, but like, a high percentage of men don't have a healthy relationship with other men, whether it be your brother, your father, maybe with your grandfather, maybe. I don't know.
If you have a grandfather.
If you have a grandfather.
Right.
Like, if I look at my relationship with men, I think the one with my grandfather was the most
beautiful, man.
In a way. But yeah, man, thank you for sharing that. I just see that the first step to getting there is always a hard one for men. That's what I get back, and that's what they're asking me now. Like, yeah, but I want to go, but I don't know. But the fact that you're asking yourself, or you're telling yourself you're scared, it's already pulling you in a way. Mm-hmm. And it's just to, like, you know what? I just need to surrender. I'll just go and see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It will never make you a lesser man,
mm-hmm.
you know, and ever. Just go and see. If it's, I don't want to say triggering you, but if it's pulling you in as a man, like, you see these videos from Sacred Sons, Emergent Purpose, The Gathering of Men, or whatever beautiful men's work initiative there is, if you see it and you keep watching it, you keep following it, it's doing something with you. And let it do with you what it does with you. And just, if you're curious, come and see what happens. And then from there, it will, I don't want to say suck you in, but it will help you to a degree that you need it, you know?
You spoke to something really important there, bro, which was around like how men who may have never turned up to a yoga studio, who have maybe never gone to a meditation class. And like, let's be honest, I live in Bristol. I go to a yoga studio and I'm one of 18 women, right? And I realized that for a very long time to step into healthy well-being spaces was difficult for me because I would turn up and it was 90% women. And especially in this area where I live in, white women. And as a Middle Eastern man, that was intense, you know? And actually I had to work through a lot of my own shadow to turn up to these environments where I felt safe and comfortable. So that's why these men's spaces are so beautiful, because whether you explore well-being practices or different types of modalities, at least you know if you feel more comfortable around other men, then this is a really healthy way and a really healthy place to go and experience. And so for me, what I learned is that we get so many brothers and those that identify as male. Let me speak to that for a second, because I have had men who were not born men turn up to our men's spaces because they have gone through their own transformation and identify as male. Let me repeat, they are so goddamn welcome in the spaces. I'm speaking on behalf of emergent men. They are so welcome to be in our spaces because what they bring through is medicine in itself. And so to have men who have never been to yoga studio, never been to meditation class, turn up to the emergent men experiences, and that be a bridge into men's work, a bridge into transformation, growth and experience, it's beautiful, man. It's really, really, really beautiful. But you know what, Nigel? I'd love to hear more about your journey into men's work, you know? And obviously you're bringing through the Sacred Sons immersion now and in Amsterdam. And, you know, I'd love to
come. Rotterdam.
Yo, that's been a whole journey, bro.
Rotterdam.
You know, lots of love. Talk to me, because you didn't just fall into that. There's been a journey for you to get into men's work. I'm really curious if you're open to sharing.
Of course, brother. Thank you for your sharing. And yeah, like, I think it all comes down to daddy issues in a way.
Daddy issues. holding space.
Did I say, yeah? Yeah, like, I love my father to death, definitely. And I was an only child. My parents were together until I was 10, and we lived in the UAE, in Abu Dhabi is where I grew up. And then when I was 10, my parents got divorced. My father stayed in the UAE, and my mother took me back to Holland, which separated me from my father. Mm. And my father chose to stay in the UAE. And back then, we didn't have the communication technology that we have now. We couldn't do this, you know. My father had to buy a card and scratch it open. He would have 10 minutes to call to Holland. I'm talking about 22 years ago. And like, my father and I were very close, and my father is a very emotional man. So I would always see him cry, which was beautiful in a way, but that also meant he lacked in other places, or lacked, like, he wasn't developed as much in other places, which is fine, you know. Our parents do what they can with what they know and what they have, and therefore I love them. And it took me a while to see that and forgive them and forgive myself. But to wrap that up, I more or less grew up with my mother. Like, my father was present on the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I was an only child. I was a rebel. I kicked out of class a lot. And unconsciously, because as a kid, you're not that developed in that department. Unconsciously, I was looking for my father in everything, in my friends, in when I got older, in relationships, you know. But I had no idea. So I ended up hanging out with these men that were a lot older, who were more the bad boy types. And just, I ended up in just going partying a lot, escapism, all that stuff, for way too long, looking up to the wrong kinds of men. And I knew, like, this is not gonna bring me further. And I know there's a thing with me and my father, and I need to address that. But I didn't know how. I had no idea. And I think I was always skeptical about therapy and stuff like that, so I wouldn't really go into that. But it always came out in my relationships, and I was like, fuck, man, I want to be a certain type of man, but I can't, because there's still a wound that needs to be addressed. And without, maybe I knew somewhere, but I think it happened into my first interaction with men's work was in Bali. There was a breathwork a facilitator and a neuroscientist and a very, very intelligent, beautiful, connected human being, Edward Dangerfield, who a lot of people were telling me, go and do a breathwork session with him, you know. And like, if I hear it from four different people, that's got to be like, or even more back then. I think he's good for you. Just go on some sessions. So I'm like, you know what, I'll go. And we had a few, or quite a few one-on-one, I think 2-hour breathwork journeys. And I got to know him. He got to know my story. And during the breathwork, I had some beautiful insights, releases, repatterning, all that stuff. And then Edward is Canadian British, and he spent a lot of time in Canada with natives in circle, in ceremony, in ritual. And he wanted to start a men's circle from all the practices that he had, and us getting to know each other, he invited me to. He said, Nigel, I'm starting a men's circle every Monday morning, 6 o'clock with sunrise, 12 men together. And that's my first experience in a men's circle, which was to have a men's circle every Monday morning in Bali with sunrise, with the beach on one side, volcano on one side. Sometimes we had a little bit of rain, and that created a rain. It was epic. But besides the visual, it wasn't even that intense. It was just the simplicity of placing. It doesn't matter whether it be 3, 4, 5, whatever. If it's a circle, it's a circle. And to me, a circle is something special. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if it's only men or women or animals. It doesn't matter. A circle creates a special place. And for us to check in with each other every Monday morning, we would do some breathing or some exercises. And we just had a check-in with each other. How was your week? We had a talking stick, and we would go the round, and we would just explain how our week was. We would have one thing that really stuck with us that was beautiful, and one thing that we just had maybe a more negative experience with, or we wanted to change, or we wanted to address. And then we shared that. And after the circle, we would just open up the circle like, hey, you talked about this. You want to go deeper into that? Yeah, let's do that. And then we would give insights or do practices. And that was so beautiful, man. And I remember that I had my accident a couple of months later. And I couldn't be present at the circles anymore because I wasn't physically capable. And of course, a lot of the men came by to help me. And I remember Ryan, he said, because I broke both my heels. He looked at me. He said, brother, you know you broke your heels? I'm like, why? He said, because you need to heal, brother. I'm like, that stuck with me. all the time.
That's fucking good.
But the beautiful thing was they would call me every Monday morning, use the phone on speaker as a talking stick. The phone would make the rounds, and I was there in my bed, crippled, on medication, and I would do my check-in.
Oh, bro.
And that just gave me power, you know, like, because it was during Corona. My parents weren't there, family, friends. I had Blue, who was there for me. But just like to have more brothers who are there for you and take the time to listen, it's powerful, man, especially when you're in the physical worst space or place of your life. And I remember Oscar and me had a lot of contact, and he started the gathering of men back then, and I was like, when I'm back in Holland, I'm gonna be there. And somewhere along the way, Sacred Sons came to into my field. And that was just like, okay, so we've been doing men's work and things like that, and the Sacred Sons is what we were doing, but then on steroids. but not the negative part, but like in a, like they were just really primal, and that also really spoke to me. And I'm like, yeah, whenever I have the chance to be a part of a Sacred Sons event, I will be. And that's where we are right now, and that's how we met.
That is how we met. Thank you for sharing that, bro. It's really beautiful. And yeah, thank you for sharing that. And I can only imagine what the 6 a.m. sunrise Bali men's circles were like. And that's the thing. It's like sometimes we think about those things and we're like, oh, these experiences only exist in those tropical places. And I think what we're showing now with the work that we're doing is we're bringing it onto home ground, you know. And that's really important because it's about making these things accessible. And yeah, Sacred Sons, so 2020 as well. Men's Work Journey started. Sacred Sons was this thing that I saw online. They were doing stuff in America. And I was like, whoa, like 300 men in like this massive circle and all the drone shot. And, you know, and it was like, damn, like this is the level. This is where this is at in the US. And I didn't necessarily know at that point the impact that would have on my life, but I also didn't know whether that was even happening in the UK to the degree it was happening. And so, yeah, that is how we met. We crossed paths in a leadership training program. And, you know, that was like a good 12 week journey with some beautiful, beautiful brothers that joined us on that journey, man. Wow. It was relatively life changing 12 weeks. And then to then have synced up at the EMX as well, dude, we had 70 men there, you know, big ups to the Sacred Sons crew, Jack, Mac and Pete for leading the lines of all the brothers that came through to that experience. But then, you know, the European leaders bringing through 70 men, man, and watching that container, obviously J-Mac, Kale, Andrew, bringing through their medicine as well. And now, you know, this year, look where we're at, bro. You've got the Rotterdam Immersion coming up. We've got Bristol coming up in May. Word on the grapevine, there is, you know, another EMX coming in June. And so it's really amazing. But Sacred Sons has been, it's so unique. I think my brother Blaze, who's one of my closest brothers, and last night something came through with me about spending past lives with that man, has been a huge part of my men's work journey, is an older brother to me in so many ways, and his eldership, mentorship, and yeah, friendship is absolutely boundless. But we were just speaking about how the value of the Sacred Sons brotherhood for us is second to none. And it's even just having this relationship here with me, with yourself, Nigel, and a relationship that we have assimilating outwards. It's like, for some reason, I don't know what it is about the Sacred Sons medicine, but the men that it brings in, bro, is just, it's different, you know, it's different. And it's been such a gift. And of course, that's how we met. And I'm really excited to see where this journey will go. And, you know, we're heading off to Ibiza. I'm going to be in Ibiza in 2 weeks' time. We're bringing through the first Sacred Sons immersion in Ibiza, Spain. Shout out Jack Villia, who's leading that, and Pete's coming through as well. There's a really strong team. But that's going to be amazing. And I think that's the thing with the Sacred Sons medicine is we're allowing ourselves to bring this work to lots of different communities across the globe, in different cities, and making it really accessible, man. So, yeah, what a gift. And this is just the start of the journey. It definitely is the start of the journey in Europe as well. You know, it'll be the first immersion in Bristol, the first immersion in Rotterdam. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this evolves as we go on. So yeah, man, I'm pumped, and it's good to be here, but it's definitely not been an easy run. Not at all. Dude, do you want to speak to some questions that came through, or do you want to kind of chat about some other stuff? What feels good?
Yeah, I think something that sticks with me from the men's work is it's something that I really experience myself, and also what I hear other brothers bring through as well, is that us men, we have the tendency, and I think it's because of the system, the commercials, the macho man image, the movies, the don't cry like a man shouldn't cry, all that stuff. Because of all of that, what that has created is, as a man, if you're struggling with something, you keep it for yourself. Mm. That's what we've been more or less sort of unconsciously, or maybe consciously, I don't know, programmed to think or to comprehend with whatever we feel. And like I also see with this, in this space, like as men should be vulnerable, men should be in touch with their feelings, and healthy masculinity and toxic masculinity. Look, to me, masculinity is masculinity. Femininity is femininity. To me, like, there's no toxic masculinity. There are toxic people, whether they are men or women. That's not what it's about. But what I wanted to say was that being in tune with your emotions and your feelings and being vulnerable, that's being human. Mm. We came to this earth. We were born with feelings, with intuition, with emotions. And as a kid, have you ever seen a kid who was not able to express their emotions? Mm-hmm. Like, no. But because generations, when a kid cries, when they show emotions, don't cry, don't do that, don't this, don't do that. It's the most humanly thing to do, is to show your emotions, to cry, to tell what you're feeling. And as a kid, you do that with crying because you can't speak. But almost from day one, it gets suppressed. And then the other traumas or whatever comes into play. And then we get older and we're like, we're naturally programmed as human beings to feel. Mm. And in a space with men, to feel what you're feeling and to come to that awareness and that feeling like, ah, I'm not alone. Mm. It's such a breather, man. Like, ah, fuck, I can just let this out. I can just rage. I can just cry. I can scream. It's just like so much suppressed trauma and feeling can come out. We've seen it at the EMX. I've seen men walk in one way, come out another way, because they, in that space, they release shit they've been holding on to for years. And together, we create that safe space for you as a man to just let it all out, whatever it is. And that, to me, is so beautiful, because there's nothing more pure and raw than pure human emotions. And to witness that in a space, I mean, I've Michael Macy, the breathwork session.
Yeah, wow.
What?
Wow. Yeah, wow. The power of breathwork as well, man, and to bring breathwork into that container was so potent and so transformational. But just to speak to what you were sharing about the power of bringing emotion to the surface, you know, on a very somatic, physiological level, when we experience, whether it's anger, fear, shock, and we don't have the tools and the processes to process those emotions, we push them down and they get stored inside of our body. You know, so very viscerally, emotion gets trapped inside of our body. And that trapped emotion, as work of Mark Wallin, who spoke about inherited family trauma, can cause lifelong issues around your health, around your well-being. And so when we're doing the work, not only are we creating these safe spaces for people to dive into their emotions, bring it to the surface, whether that's anger, fear, sadness, we're healing. We are healing because we're actually allowing ourselves to, instead of storing the stuff in our bodies, bring it up, get it out, and heal. And for me, what I've realized is I'm not doing this just for me. I'm doing this for when I have children. I'm doing this for the people that made me, because, you know, that quote, we do this for those that came before us and those that will come after us. Because the work that we do not do is inherited by the children that we produce, genetically, spiritually, biologically. So it's like it is our duty as healthy masculine individuals to do the work that we can do, acknowledging that we're never going to get it all done. We ain't going to get it all done. It's a lifelong journey. But what we can do is we can do our utmost best to when we create imprints in the world, to allow those imprints to be healthier, more whole, and allow them to guide. And, you know, I'm sure you know as well, man, I know some very incredible fathers in our circle, man, like who, you know, I was honored to spend time with Jack, good friend of ours, Jack, in Ibiza. And I said to him, Jack, man, like, witnessing your fatherhood, I've never witnessed healthy fatherhood. And to witness your and your partner's father, like, parenting, especially you as a healthy man who's doing the work and is a father, bro, it brought me to tears, man. Mm. I was like, you have no idea how much that's impacted me, because I've never had healthy father figures until now. And that for me is a gift. You know, if you're a man that steps into those spaces and witnesses other brothers, sons, and fathers in a healthy way that you may have never been able to experience. And so, yeah, man, cool. That was beautiful. That was really, it was really beautiful and yeah, life-changing.
But that's what you, like, that's also what we've, with Oscar and the Gathering of Men, a lot of the times, it's the work that happens in the space or in the circle, and also with Sacred Sons or with Emergent Purpose, like, it doesn't stay there. Like, the work, what you do, is things are confidential, of course, but the energy and the healing that happens in the space, you take with you. You embody that, and whoever you come in contact with, whether it be the cashier at the grocery shop, or your mother, or your father, or your brother, or your friends, you take that energy with you. And also, I would never put this work upon, like, you have to do this. No, you don't. You don't have to. I just do this work for everybody I come in contact with, and also for healing ancestral trauma, my relationship with my father, and for everybody I come in contact with. And if I do that and try to embody that as much as I can, and the embodiment happens during these immersions and EMXs a lot, what I experience. And if I just take that energy with me, I can do more. I think Albert said that beautifully. What does the work look like? Whatever closer to goodness and closer to God. The work is different to everybody. And that was so beautifully put that I'm like, yeah, man. And then you don't have to put the work onto, like, hey, brother, I think this is good for you. You have to do that. No, if you embody it, if that brother is ready, or that person, he will find a place within himself, like, oh, I think this is something for me. And then they'll come to you. And then invite them or tell them, oh, this is coming up, maybe. And that's, like, I would never force the work onto anybody. I can just show what it does to me. And if that does something to you, then you're ready. And then the space is open.
Yeah. That's so beautiful, man. Well put, well put. You know, the ripple effects are, we just go far beyond we can ever imagine, you know, and the effect that we have leading from the heart space and that impacting the world. That's a really beautiful quote by Aubert. And, you know, whether it's your children, your father, your mother, your sister, like, that's who we do the work for. Yes, it's for us, of course, but we are all, and all is us. So, you know, when we have that inside of us and we embody that and we allow that to just emanate outwards, it's creating a quantum collective shift, man, a really collective shift, which I think is even unfathomable to even comprehend with the human mind, like how much of an impact that is having across the globe or even across our communities. And so it feels like, you know, we're really aligning with why we do this stuff and what it is. And I think it's even like, I remember Jason at one of the EMXs or one of the immersions, he was like, we're going to do some good old fashioned men's work. And it just really stuck with me because this stuff has been around. It's not some new stuff, right? Like, you know, I was reading an article about the mythopoetic men's movement that was happening during the 70s and the 80s. And the mythopoetic men's movement was around where poets got together with psychologists who then got together with therapists. So it was psychologists, therapists, and authors, and they were creating a movement that was different from the church. So the idea was, at that point, where lots of people gathered was in church, but many people didn't align with religion. So this mythopoetic men's movement meant men would gather in other settings, and it would be around story, there would be around therapeutic practices, but it wasn't a religion. It wasn't a cult. It was trying to go against that trend by creating safe, accessible spaces for men from all nature. And then you have the birth of the Mankind Project, right? Which, you know, you may have heard about, you know, Jason, one of the founders of Sacred Sun, sat on the Mankind Project High Council for nearly a decade before spinning out and creating Sacred Suns. But the Mankind Project, I would say, were the forefront spark in the men's movement during the 70s and 80s. You know, they've been around for nearly 30 years now, and I cannot.
The documentary, The Work, is from Mankind Project, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yes. Yeah.
So for all the men that are new, or whoever you are, it doesn't matter if you're a man, if you're a human being, and you're interested in this, the documentary, The Work, something I would watch. It's beautiful. In prison, with every nationality, culture, background, gangsters, murderers, rapists, whatever they are, they come together and they do the work. And let that be an invitation to watch and see what that heals with these men who are of age, who have committed horrendous crimes. There's still redemption within themselves. Maybe not for others or not for the victims. That's a different conversation, but they still need to heal from what they did. And what the work does is just beautiful. Okay, back to you.
No, thank you for sharing that, Verona. It's a beautiful, beautiful addition. And maybe there's something that we can share afterwards that has like documentaries, books, like different ideas for different people to be able to tune into this stuff, you know, and actually like a really entry point into like what men's work is. And it's very common, if not on a weekly basis, an individual, a woman, gets in touch with the emergent man and says, can I join the space? Like, what is this work? What happens in men's work? Like, what is it?
And I think that's the next. I get that quite often too, sometimes. And mixed circles, that's us men, we still need to do some work. We're laying a foundation. And then I think that is the next step in the years to come to bring those spaces together and to get every human being involved in that.
100%. And, you know, once again, to just name Michael Maisie, the Change is Possible Project, in the UK. He is one man that I know who brings together explicitly men and women's work to a point where he shared something at the EMX where he said, witnessing a man and a woman in sacred combat was one of the most healing, transformational experiences of his own life. Because he would witness a woman saying to the man, I want you to meet me. And right now, you as a man are representing all the men that hurt me, that have caused pain in my life. And I need to heal these wounds as a woman. And I need you as the man to represent the masculine and for me to do my work with you in this moment. And he, like, you know, that man, Michael, can hold the space for that. You know, that is like, you know, like you said, it's a timeline thing to be able to then hold the space for such depth of, you know, because let's be honest, you know, why is the men's work movement really, really, you know, taking off, especially with a lot of younger people now, man? Because a lot of masculine have hurt women, you know, and we carry some fucking deep wounds, bro. And, you know, speaking from my own experience of having a Middle Eastern father, and, you know, we won't go into the politics of the Middle East, but, you know, you look what's happening in Iran right now with women, it's like, bro, like, I carry that every day. And that's why I do this, because it's it's the reality that my bloodline has had injustice to women. And so I know I don't have that as a pressure because I recognize that is not my thing to own, but there's a part of me that allows that to guide me and inspire me to do the work for myself. You know, I've got a Persian mother and an Arabic father who both bloodlines have witnessed the absolute disparity of both masculine and feminine, but let's be fucking honest and real right now. You know, the abuse of women. And so for me to be where I am now, doing this work, as I mentioned back, is more than just for me, man. It's for those that came before me, and it's for those that will come after me. And yeah, that is just a real driving point for me there. And I went off on one there, but that just kind of came through and has really landed. But you know, that's a big thing. That's why we do the work. We do it, yes, of course, to turn up in front of other men, but also to turn up for the women in our life in healthier ways. Maybe you want to speak to that, bro?
I do want to speak to that. Thank you for sharing that, man. It really touched me and also brought something up, which I've been experiencing here in the UAE, which is also the Middle East. And I was in a vulnerability circle last week with a few local Emirati women. I came here for a masculinity retreat, which my brother Mo organized. Mo, shukran, habibi, saraha. And I was supposed to come here for 5 days and fly back. I canceled my ticket. I stayed. It's been two and a half months almost. And also for my own reconnection with my inner child, because I grew up here and stuff like that. But also because the work that is being done here, which there is a community. It isn't as big, but it's growing rapidly because the healing the people need here is enormous. And to see and hear stories about local women who do this work to heal their traumas, and I realized how fucking privileged, call it white privilege, I have been privileged my whole fucking life. Growing up in Holland, being white, I've sat in circles with a lot of Western men. I hear problems and they go to a certain degree and they are horrible. And we experience things on our own conscious level, in our own reality. And then you come to a place and you hear similar stories, but you hear how they get treated if they act a certain way, if they can come out a certain way, if they don't wear certain clothing. I cannot fathom what the people here or in Iran are going through. I can't. Because I've been privileged my whole fucking life. And maybe I come to the reason, maybe that's, feeling guilty is a big word, but that's also a big part of me wanting to do the work. Because the thing is with the Sacred Son, they talk a lot about heritage and speaking to that, honoring that. And with this immersion coming up, me looking into Dutch history and tribes and stuff like that, I can barely find anything. There's almost nothing I can be proud of Dutch history. I can only be ashamed of it. What my ancestors, I don't know if, what they have done and how they've treated people from different race is unbelievable. The crazy thing is they've done so much bad, and I get privilege off of that. I don't get that. I cannot wrap my head around that. And to see people here from Syria, from Lebanon, from Iran, whatever country they come from, and they struggle with things as coming out and accepting or realizing that you're attracted to men. If you're a white man, it's very hard to come out of the closet or to express that. It's hard. I cannot understand that because I've never been through it, but I can understand that that's a process. When you're from a Muslim country or from this region, it's the stories you hear, how they get treated by their, it's not about comparing. It's not about that. It's just that like we all have our own reality. And I just witnessed myself sitting there. I'm like, holy shit. So many things in this life are just unfair. And with this work, to be there for men with whatever they've been through in their lives and create a safe space is the least I can do. It's hard to put into words. And it also speaks to the strength they have as a human being within themselves to go through that, to work on themselves and to become better and still wake up with a smile. It to me is beautiful to witness.
Thank you for sharing that, bro. And there was this really beautiful part which you named, which was about Mo bringing through the men's work in the Middle East. And that's something in which, bro, like I feel so deeply inspired to do at some point, feeling very disconnected from my heritage at times, being born in white Britain and spending most of my life being one of the darkest kids in the room, has meant that my connection to my heritage has been, I don't speak Arabic, I don't speak Persian, and that's very sad for part of me, you know. And so, yeah, just really honouring what you shared around reconnecting to those roots and doing the work there in that country right now, and not necessarily feeling the weight of a responsibility, but alchemizing that into feeling inspired to create. Because that's something that I resonate with. Sometimes I feel this weight of responsibility, and that actually then makes me feel guilty and scared and fearful. And you know, I spoke to my sister yesterday about something similar that arose to me, and she said, but Leigh, that vibration is not going to drive you forward in your life. How do you alchemize that feeling of guilt and fear to, okay, let me realize that what I'm feeling can be put on the fire and shifted to inspiration and creativity, and okay, cool, this is how I feel about this thing. What can it do to kind of propel me forward like a bow, you know, pull back to let go so that I can feel inspired to go and create and do and serve in a way that comes from a place of joy and service. And so, yeah, that's something that came up for me as well while you were speaking to that. So it's something in which is not simple, but it's definitely
unfolding.
Say that again.
It's about alchemizing it.
It is about alchemizing it. Alchemist, what another great book. How do you feel about jumping into some questions, bro?
Yeah, I got a beautiful one from one of our brothers, Stephen. It was a brother from the Gathering of Men. And he says, with all the men's work initiatives igniting all over the world, how can we best collaborate as one team?
Do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I can. I think what I said with what Albert said about the work, if it brings us closer to goodness and closer to God, it is the work.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe, and I will believe, that every men's work initiative does it for more or less the same reasons. Mm. And it's, I mean, within this work, it's the last thing it is, it's about competing. It's not, it will never be. Mm. And as one team, I think if it comes from the same place, which I believe it all comes from, then you're already a team.
Mm.
I think that if there's an initiative in South Africa or an initiative from Guatemala or whatever country it is, if a men from that initiative or that initiative come together, mm. they know. And they can speak on the same level because they do the work. And maybe what it looks like will be a little bit different, but in the essence of the intention, it's the same frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And I think just allowing, not competing, promoting one another.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as a man, I would also, I know that the Gathering is doing an event abroad for a few days, and I want to be a part of that, man. Like, I want to. And if there's emergent purpose, if I'm in the UK, I want to be a part of that too.
Mm.
Because it's the same, men with the same intentions coming together. Mm-hmm. And maybe you guys do it a little bit different. Maybe you have things that are similar. But what it evokes within the man will be the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that already makes you one team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Beautifully put. Yeah, beautifully put. Thank you for sharing that. And I can only speak from my experience about what's been happening here in the UK, because, you know, there is an emergence of brotherhoods arising. And a few months ago, a few leaders, as we coined them, of these different organizations, we went for food. We sat down. We said, hey, bros.
The High Council.
The High Council. We said, look, how can we...
Every kingdom.
how do we support each other?
Work together with the kingdoms.
the men that lead these spaces got together and said, I've coined a phrase. There is more brothers than brands that need this work. Full fucking stop. There is more brothers than there is brands. If a man is fearful of another man coming into the market and delivering the work, then that man needs to do the work, because he does not realize and he does not acknowledge why we are doing this. We are doing this because we are here to transcend the old school ideology around competition, around, oh, you're going to be on my property and I'm scared of you. Well, no, we do the work because we believe in abundance. We believe there is enough cake to go round, quite literally, metaphorically, and physically. So we as brothers who build these brands sat down and we said, hey, look, how can we best support each other? When we got the London, when we got the Bristol immersion dates, the first thing I did was I went and looked at the few brothers that I know running organizations, and I looked at the dates they were doing events, and I called up my good brother, Alex Cottle. I said, hey, brother, I've realized that we're going to have a clash of event dates. Before it goes live, I just needed to name that to you, because I witness you. I'm here to support you and I respect you so much. I'd rather I let you know this before it became in the social sphere. Very practically, operationally, that's playing as one team. You know, all in all, our dates ended up changing. The date shifted. So actually there's no clash now. But that operationally meant that I really respected his work. And I realized that there was a clash. So how can I name that to him and just respect the fact that that was going to happen? But coming back to that point around, like, you know, the work is acknowledging that we should not be fearful of another man coming into the market and, you know, taking the work. And it's like, well, no, you don't understand what the work is, in my opinion, from my projection, what it truly is then. Because it's about acceptance. It's about support. It's about unconditional understanding. And that's not to say that there won't be some heads that get clashed. That is not to say...
Sometimes that also needs to happen in order to...
Alchemize. Exactly. That needs to happen to alchemize. And I know that there's been brothers, men in the space who run different organizations who have had, you know, discussions around in differences in which they've had to work through. And that is also real-time work. That's real-time being honest and working through stuff. So just to kind of my final point on that question is communication. How does a team operate? Communication, honesty, collaboration. How do we communicate? How do we collaborate together? And how do we create the space for each other's brands to grow? Acknowledging there is more brothers than brands that need this work.
And always, thank you for saying that, man. And always, like, the work is on number one. Whatever supports the work more, we should push it a little bit more in front. That's also my opinion, because it's all about the work. Whatever brand brings it, if you have a clash of dates, and just be honest, like, okay, I think this is better for you guys. Just be honest in that. It's not about, like, we pull in this much men. We pull in that. No. Not about that.
No.
Okay, next question.
Cool.
From my brother, Nico. How can we share our vision for improving masculine consciousness to all our brothers?
How can we share our vision to improving masculine consciousness to all our brothers? Get to a circle and experience the fucking thing. Get to a circle. Initially, that's what comes up for me. You know, how do we improve the masculine consciousness for all our brothers? Be an embodiment of service, the work, and experience the circle. But yeah, jump on that, and then I'll let my mind marinate some more.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think every man can agree within themselves, and they don't have to say it to anybody. But if you have common sense as a man, I think it's very clear how unhealthy a lot of behavior is from men towards other men, towards women, towards children, towards everybody. If you as a man are conscious, or just maybe not even conscious or aware, but just have common sense, if you sit down long enough and you ask yourself the right questions, like, am I doing good? How am I treating people? How am I treating myself? I think even if I do that, it comes, okay, I need to go to a circle. Or I need to go to a safe space with men. Because that's the place where you heal, where you heal it. If your masculinity is not where it's supposed to be, you don't heal that with the feminine. Only you need to have these men as mirrors, as men that inspire you. But if you sit down with yourself long enough, and if you're honest to yourself, and you have basic common sense, you will come to senses with yourself. Like, okay, this I need a part of this. I need to be a part of this. I need healing in these areas. And being aware of it is one thing. Doing the work is the other. I think there are enough initiatives around the world, close to you, maybe not close to you, maybe after take a trip, which will always be worth it. And step in, step up. Ownership, own your shit. It's what we say in this space a lot. Own your shit. And as men, I have shit I need to work on. And the more people I meet, the more people I come in contact with, the more mirrors I have to see where I can improve as a man or as a human being. And these spaces help me do it.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, just to add up on that, like, men's work is not therapy. Mm-hmm. I want to address that. It's not therapy. But it will get you to a certain point. It can get so much things to the surface, which I had, and then I went to therapy. And that combination for me was golden. If I, then you find the right therapist, and to have a combination with that, then in these spaces, a lot of stored stuff can come up through getting into the body, feeling, and it comes up, it comes out, and then you can, it comes out like verbally, you know. We say we store it in our body, and through the practices with primal men's work, with men's circles, it can come up to the surface and you can talk about it. And then when you find the right therapist, whatever it is, this is such a broad spectrum of what is present with every individual. But in a, to put it into context, when it comes up in the spaces, you can give it a voice, mm-hmm. and then you can really do the work. And I think that will broaden the consciousness within all the brothers. But it is the first step. You have to take the step, brother. You have to step into the uncomfort. But I can tell you one thing that Blue has taught me. And he says, it's when you're only as sick as your secrets. It's when you're tired of your own bullshit that you start to take action. And us men, we have a lot of bullshit that we keep telling ourselves. When we come to a point where that's enough, if you keep going like that, it will keep putting you in the same situations. Wife, with your kids, with your partner, with whoever you come in contact with. But when you take a step in a different direction, you will end up getting different results. And we're only as sick as our secrets.
Khalas.
Khalas. Saraha.
So halas, that's beautiful, man.
Saraha means
tell me.
Honestly.
Haraha.
Saraha.
Taraha.
It's like when you say something, you really mean it, you say after saraha.
Taraha. Nice.
That's beautiful, man.
Halas. Halas, complete. I feel complete on that question. Thank you for sharing that, bro. It was beautiful. That was really beautiful.
Thank you. How can women best support men in their awakening?
A woman sent me this today or yesterday, actually. And it landed in a really interesting way, because I do hear this a lot in different circles. How can my partner support me going through this? How can my sister support me? How can my mum support me? But, you know, fundamentally, let's speak to, you know, how can women support men who are doing this work? And I honestly feel like it can be as simple as hold the space, create the space, give space to a man that is doing the work. Be the feminine that the masculine needs. Be the caring, compassionate, holding nature that is the divine feminine traits that can hold the masculine whilst the masculine holds the feminine. And I think in every every example will be different. Every relationship will be different. But for me, it's, you know, how does a woman, there's a great Rumi quote, which is...
There are all the great quotes.
So many great.
Have you ever heard somebody say,
yeah,
nah, this was not that good.
This is a mediocre Rumi quote. This is a mediocre Rumi quote.
Right. Little shout out to Rumi.
Yeah, he said, and this is why I completely slaughter the quote. I don't want you to light me up. I want you to shine so bright and allow me to shine bright that when we come together, we set the world on fire. And the idea behind that is, how can a woman show up for a man who's doing the work? Do the work yourself. That's it. How do you show up for a man in his awakening? You go through the journey. That's it. Because what I witness is, and, you know, speaking from my own experience and having the relationships I've had and being a single man now, I'm not going to go into too much depth, but you might resonate with this. Let me speak about, you know, I've witnessed other men who are doing the work, going for all this transformational growth, and they're with a partner who's holding them back, who's like, you're changing. There's a great photo of a caterpillar speaking to a butterfly, and the caterpillar says to the butterfly, you've changed. And the butterfly says, we're supposed to. Ask yourself the question, are you surrounding yourself with butterflies who are transforming and committing themselves to change? So how does a woman show up for an awakened man? By transforming and evolving herself. And understanding that that may mean that these paths need to change, that these people separate. But at the end of the day, for me, it's around, okay, how do you shine your light so bright that then when you find someone who's also shining their light bright, you set the world on fire?
This is when we shine our light, we give invitation for others to do the same.
Exactly. Is that another Ruby quote?
Like I have to quote Ram Dass on this. Like the best work you can do for yourself, the best work you can do for me is work on yourself, and the best work I can do is for you is work on myself. And I think it. And the space is also important. Definitely.
Yeah. Like I've witnessed that being in a household and. But when we come back from men's experiences, you know, that we really name the fact that, you know, some space would be great. Space from work, space from commitments immediately. We all need space to integrate. Those that may have experienced plant medicine ceremonies recognize that having the space to integrate is so important, you know. Okay. Men's work is a ceremony, you know. Men's work is a ceremony.
The work
you have to come out of those spaces. Integration, relaxation. Hopefully that kind of spoke to that question and that feels clearer. Is there anything you want to add to that about the how do women show up for awakened man?
No, it's what you say, you know, like I think from what I see there are more women's circles and stuff like that than men's spaces still. And I think it's just comes down to do the work yourself. Because within that, you will find compassion for your men doing the work. And in doing that, you are contributing to his awakening. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe the question can also be asked in a sense, in the way of if she's quote unquote awakened and her man still needs to go through that, how do you support him in that? And I think it's just like if you're already an awakened woman in your own view, like don't compare yourself to him, and gentle as you can with him, because it can be a tough process if those begin stages, you know, because it's unfamiliar. And I think it comes down to nourishing the man, allowing the man to be the man, and maybe we have a lot of masculine women in this world nowadays. So if you feel that you are a very masculine woman and you have a man that is trying to get there, that means that you have to lower your masculinity and get more into the feminine, because only then can you help your man truly awaken and truly step into his masculine power, which I believe all men are wired for deep down.
Masculine power. By design. Connection to source, right? That's it. Removing the conditioning, connecting to source. Beautiful, man. Next question.
We spoke on that in depth. What got you into men's work? We tackled that in the beginning. In the beginning. Playfulness. Playfulness is also, because a lot of people maybe see or think like it's all this dark, primal, tough, masculine, no, but playfulness, play. Like I remember at the EMX, I brought my baseball glove, and me and Gijs were just like throwing a ball, man. Me and Jason were just like throwing a ball. Just because the playfulness gets you into the moment. If you throw a ball, if you play football, soccer, whatever, like the playful team sports or whatever that is, or a practice that we have within the space, you know, the touching each other. You have connection with each other. You have connection with each other, eye contact, and you're in the moment. Okay. You're just in that moment, in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
And to have that in relationship, also with your man, keep on playing with each other, mm-hmm. is very important. Sometimes work can be very serious.
Yeah.
And to offer that element of play is so healing, man. Mm-hmm. I'm still, if I look at videos of my little Nigel, I still see myself. I'm still that enthusiastic little playful kid. Should never abandon that.
No, that's so beautiful, man. That's so beautiful. And we've got our brother who supports us with Emergent Man. He's one of the three leaders, George Sargent Childs. And he undoubtedly always brings through the play in all of our experiences, whether it's designing experiences alongside Lord of the Rings scripts, where he brings through like that energy of like story and theatre and play, or, you know, singing songs that are really playful, or we did some practices, or we were rolling around on the ground, you know, being different animals. You were there that morning at the EMX section, when I brought through the animal piece around, you know, be the wolf. And be whatever animal, you know, aligns with you. And that's it. Like, I think that's also super important because some photos make men's work look scary and also make men's work look intimidating. But damn, bro, like being a 5'4" man, I feel so safe in those spaces. I feel so like welcome, more so than I felt like in a rugby team, you know? So it's like, any brother that can turn up to rugby trials and not feel intimidated can turn up to a men's circle. Any brother that can turn up to theatre school and go do acting in front of people can turn up to a men's circle. Because no matter how intimidating you think those environments are, I promise you it is less intimidating than a lot of environments that you've been in your life. And that realization has just landed for me, and damn. Sweet brother. But yeah, we just to like thank you for sharing the playful piece, because it doesn't all need to be that deep. You can get caught up in, like my sister says this to me, she's like, Lace, not everything needs to be honored and sacred, man. Like, just realize that the work is life. Enjoy life, be here, enjoy the life. Ride the waves. Don't overdo it in the sense of becoming something that you're not. Because the work is about removing the layers to go down to our truest essence. And that true essence is peaceful, playful, harmony. And it's nurturing that inner child that's inside of us all.
I think Alan Watts quotes that, like, see everything as play. See it as playing. Go into the whatever it is.
Go to the playful state.
Almost 1.5 hours, brother.
Bro. Dude,
we can do this all.
Yeah, we can easily just sit here and chat. It's been beautiful, man. It's been really beautiful. Should we start to bring it to a close?
We didn't talk about death.
Bro, what I'm hearing is episode two. What I'm hearing is, I think we could speak specifically about
on that.
We didn't even touch the fact that we've both had near-death experiences, our experiences and what we learned. I think we've done really beautiful to hold the space for about men's work and about this.
Definitely.
And that's felt really, really good.
You can tap into that another time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, bro. That's a big topic. And I feel like it's a really, really important one. But I feel really cool to circle it up on the men's stuff and then... Park our NDEs till next time.
Let's do that. You speak to what you've got coming up.
Cool.
For the men that are listening.
Amazing.
And afterwards, and then we round up.
Full power. So, what have we got coming up? So, firstly, we've got the Ibiza Immersion, 25th, 26th of February. Jack Villiers is leading that. We'll be calling in around 30 men to the White Island to bring through the medicine the last weekend of February. Then we've got the Emergent Men. Emergent Men, you know, if you're listening to this and you're based in the UK, you're based in the West Country, or at least based in the UK, Emergent Men is the organization which I've co-founded the start of last year. Over 350 men have now experienced our events, and we're bringing through a big day event on April the 2nd in a venue called the Mount Without. It's this incredible, incredible church, super, super sacred building. And we'll do a big feast as well at the end. So there's food involved, because play and feasting is so important. But we're actually, yeah, we've set the capacity at 40 men, and we're actually a few seats off completing 40 brothers to come to that event. So if people want to join, let me know. And then, of course, May 20 and 21, we've got Sacred Sons, the Bristol Immersion. Peter, men's work coach, is coming to lead the lines. Myself and Blaze are community leads. Ooh. We'll be bringing through the May Immersion, which will be the first one in Bristol. So those three events I'll be involved in. Also, last one was that April 29 and 30, I'll be supporting a man named Luke in Ireland, in Dublin.
Healing Forest.
Through, yes, the Healing Forest. Beautiful man. To bring through an immersion in Ireland. I'll be in a pure supporter mode there. There is incredible leaders coming through to deliver that in Ireland as well. So that's it from me. That's it from me. We've got Ibiza, Ireland, Bristol and Bristol. Let's get it.
Beautiful, brother.
How about yourself, bro?
Yeah, man. I hope me and Mo can get together a circle here in the UAE before I leave. That's what I have on my mind. Would love to hold a circle with Mo. Then I fly back to Holland for the Rotterdam Immersion, the 11th, 12th of March. Also in a beautiful, beautiful church. Jack is leading. Me, Gijs, and Sel will be co-hosting and facilitating around that. Beautiful men coming through with medicine, with music, with everything, with Tom, with Cacao. Really looking forward to that, man. It really sparks my fire to just organize it. Like, I'm calling in the men, having these conversations with men who want to sign up. And if there are men that have any questions, I'm here, brother. And everyone is welcome. Then Monday the 20th, there's another gathering of men in Amsterdam. I will post something on my story after this with Oscar, who, yeah, I think Oscar is the one that I've sat in circle with the most. If I talk about men's work, his name shall always be shared. Then the 17th until the 23rd, I'll be attending a retreat from Nico on Ibiza. And yeah, I think also I'm going to be at the EMX in June, man. I have to. At Medicine Festival. And within that, I'll see wherever the flows. This work is something that lights me up. Together, doing the work. Seeing what it does with men and the connection, man. Doogie in the comment section. Doogie, brother. It's just the connections you build with these men in these spaces. Mm-hmm. I mean, we connected I'm going to speak to this, by the way. So we connected over the leadership course, and then the EMX was in Devon.
Yeah.
I just broke up with my girlfriend. I had contact with a girl from, I don't know, in the UK. I think it was Wales or whatever. And, yeah, are you coming through for this or that? And do you want you to meet me? And I was talking with them. Like, it's so easy to fall into that pattern that when you break up with a woman, to meet up with another woman. And I was like, you know what? I'm not going to do this. I'm going to fly into Bristol to meet with Blaise and Lays, who I've been in container with for the past 3 months. I'm going to do it differently. And I went to Bristol and flew in 2 or 3 nights earlier, pre the EMX. And then we bonded and then we went to the EMX together. Dude, just the ride there, man. How much fun was that? Listening to old tunes.
Yeah.
Where's Blaze at? Is Blaze at home? Where is
he? I don't know if he's here at the moment.
Get in here, mate.
Yeah.
I think I don't know if we can edit the caption when this goes online, but we can put the dates of the events that we just mentioned in there.
Amazing.
And if any man or woman or whatever wants to ask us questions about this stuff or about anything else, you know where to find us.
Get in touch. Get in touch.
And remember, if you want to make this world a better place, do the work.
Mm.
Whatever that looks like, if it brings you closer to God, closer to yourself, closer to others, and closer to goodness, then that is the fucking work.
Go shine your light. So much love. Thank you, Nigel, for hosting, bringing me into the space. I look forward to the next episode where we dive into some death and all that journey that we've been on. But bro, it's been really beautiful, man. And I feel like our brotherhood is just starting. And thank you for reminding me of that beautiful Bristol adventure. Here's to many more adventures, bro, all over the world, embodying play, love, and service. I love you, bro. Thank you so much.
I love you. Let's do some 3 breaths.
3 breaths to kick it out. All right, brother, taking a big inhale in. Sigh to release. Take another inhale in. Big sigh to release. Inhale in, hold for 7 seconds. And release.
Love you, brother.
Love you, bro. Thank you so much. See you next time. So much love.
Bye.
Shoo-wee.